Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to Fake Italian Hell.
Hey!
Wow. If ever a movie made me want to hang myself from the nearest ceiling rafter, this was the one. If we had high enough ceilings, this would be over with. I would be done. Just from this movie. I couldn't take it.
This is a really bad one. Okay. If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you so much for joining us to watch and relive all these movies in painful and excruciating detail. Thank you for your Apple Podcast reviews. Thank you for your Patreon donations. And thank you for being you.
Yes. All of those things help immensely.
Yeah. Just for, you know, just all general.
Definitely.
Yeah. We are on Patreon. It's patreon.com/yougothighgold, YOUGOTHEIGLD. Oh. The last time that we did a bonus episode, we played Make Your Own Rom-Com.
It was a good one.
Tried out my official board game that I
made. That was amazing.
And then this week we are going to be talking about the TLC show I Love a Mama's Boy.
We have to. Well, I understand. whatever. We got a holiday plotsy thing for the next one. It's going to be great.
The next one we're going to do holiday rom-com plotsy.
I don't know what I'm more blown away by, this movie we just watched or the I Love a Mama's Boy, but we need to talk about that. It's insane.
Well, we saw that a lot of you guys out there on the internets that you guys watch I Love a Mama's Boy.
So we
saw that you guys are watching it. So we watched it, and then we have
a lot of thoughts on it.
A lot of thoughts. Awful. I'm sure you share them with us.
Awful anyway, lot of thoughts.
That's on patreon.com/yougothighgold, YOUGOTHEIGLD. Last week, we watched Twilight.
Oh, man.
And yes.
And we're going to make a deal with you, okay? I just made this deal. We do 3 weeks on, 1 week off month, right?
So I told James we have to watch all of the movies.
Yeah,
Okay.
So what we're going to do is for every three-week block, we're going to watch one of the damn Twilights. So yeah, over the next 7 months or whatever, was there 14 Twilights?
I think
18 Twilights?
Seven. Yeah.
Okay. So over the next 6 months, I guess, we're going to do every month.
Yeah.
I have to watch a Twilight.
Yeah.
And so do you.
Yeah.
And so does everyone else. You guys don't have to. You can just laugh that we had to whatever. But wow. This movie was just as unrealistic that we watched today.
I don't know.
As Twilight.
I don't know. So this week we watched Mickey Blue Eyes. And just a reminder, everybody, we are doing 3 weeks on and 1 week off. We're on week two. And then we've got another week where we'll be hanging out with you. And then just don't come looking for us. Don't wonder where we are. It's not a big deal.
For 1 week.
So we will be back here after that 1 week off. But, you know, whatever. Anyway.
This movie.
Mickey Blue Eyes.
Yeah, please. Everyone.
Okay, can I say something?
I'm so angry. This movie makes me physically angry.
Can I say something?
Yeah, please.
Of all the movies, there have been pretty bad ones, but it has at least been entertaining.
No.
That we've watched. No.
A lot that weren't, but.
No. I just mean we were able to create entertainment. We were laughing at how ridiculous it was. Like you and I had a good time and I felt like it was entertaining to watch this movie. Agreed?
Yes. No.
Not this movie.
Yes,
I just mean all the other movies.
Not all of them, no.
What?
None of them with the dance. I can't watch people fucking dance.
Okay,
so
we
anything
had a
with
great
dancing,
time.
I didn't have fun watching.
Anyway.
But this is.
Will you just let me make my point?
Yeah, please.
Great. This one was the worst one of all. Even enjoyable at all.
Burlesque is hard to top. I'm going to be honest with you.
Excuse me, that was hilarious.
Yeah, I can't take everyone's cuts through the whole fuck.
Wow.
I can't take that. But this This movie was the equivalent of
those Cher appearance fees that we get here.
Thank you, Cher. Thank you very much.
They're not cheap.
No, please walk the. She's got her asses out. She's wearing assless pants again, like she used to. And I'm, please, yeah, thank you, thank you.
Goodbye, Cher. Happy holidays.
I just feel bad looking because
please wash your hands.
Yeah, it's almost, you know, we respect our elders, and she's everybody's elder. So anyway. Now, this movie is the equivalent of a blaxploitation movie of the 70s.
Wow.
And not a good one either.
Okay.
I'm not talking fucking Dolomite. I'm talking Kung Fu Jones and shit. Like, it's that level of of bad, like,
it
offensive.
It was not good.
Yeah, and I looked and I saw that one of the producers was Elizabeth Hurley, which I'm like,
oh, no.
Yeah, that's who should really dip into the Italian culture as much as we can, is Elizabeth Hurley, who knows more about that. I'll get into that. You got to do your intro stuff, and
okay.
I'll rant about how offensive it is later.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So we watched Mickey Blue Eyes, 1999, 1 hour and 42 minutes, starring Hugh Grant. Is it Jeannie or is it Jean?
Who?
Jean Triplehorn?
I think Jeannie? It's Jean.
I don't know. I should have
Maybe
looked it
Jeannie.
Up before. Jeannie Triplehorn. I'm just going to call her Triplehorn for the rest of the movie.
Sure.
That's a great last name. And James
Caan. I called her. That's the lead? Really? Her? And it's no offense, like, looks-wise. It's just she doesn't have a, like, a, there's no, she's the equivalent
she was
of
like,
him.
She was like Heigl before Heigl.
Yeah, yeah, they were both, these two were like a real... drip couple together.
Yeah.
I think they told her to tone it down. Hugh Grant's pretty mild, so you really got to tone it down. Don't have any charisma, please.
Please, you can't.
You're going to overshadow Hugh Grant.
Okay. The IMDb description. An English auctioneer proposes to the daughter of a mafia kingpin, only to realize that certain favors would be asked of him. The taglines are, they've created a mobster. And then the other one is a romantic comedy you can't refuse.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ.
It's a romantic comedy you can't refuse. Oh, my God. We got Marlon Brando back from the dead to say
wow,
that.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's really good for you to come
put
out.
Put the Ouija board away and we'll continue the let's continue the episode, please.
Is Marlon Brando in the room with us right now?
Oh, my God. This
on this the day of my daughter's wedding.
This movie. Okay, it would be one thing if it was a spoof, because the late 90s, this is 1999, you have to put yourself in 1999.
I'd love to be there.
1999, The Sopranos is the biggest, it's like in its first season, and it's the biggest show in the world at the moment.
I got a Britney Spears album.
Analyze This just came out, which was a huge blockbuster hit.
Mm-hmm.
Anything mafia at this time period that was coming out was being, you could just, any mafia movie would get made. Show, movie, anything you wanted could be mafia made, because it was just hot at the moment. This was a movie that was made because somebody said, all right, I got an idea, check this out, Hugh Grant mixed up with mobsters, and they went, fucking make it. Just write something around it, just have him at some point. I need him to try to say forget about it, please. That's all I need. As long as that's in the script, green light, go make it.
You can have as much money as you want.
Round up every Guinea side character that's in every single other fucking movie.
It was the whole cast of the Sopranos,
every Goodfellas, everybody. Analyze This, they're all together. At one point Paulie Walnuts and Pussy get out of the same car, and I'm like, okay, well, why is Sylvia? Why don't we just do it that way?
I would have loved if he was there.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not have everybody? Because they had most of them. The doorman was the other guy. It's they're all.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And Janice.
She's the waitress. I'm like, of course, Parvati's here.
Yeah.
So this is one of those times where this was a glorious time to be an Italian character actor, because you just worked from one. You'd go from one set to the other playing. You could wear the same suit.
Well, that's
the,
good.
The same. No, it's not good, though, because it's all the same fucking character.
But I mean, they were getting work.
Yeah, on the side, looking like a fat mook eating a sandwich. That's what I mean. No, that's not the same thing. It isn't the same. No, it's not. That's to say, no, it's not getting work.
Okay.
It's good if it's like The Sopranos, where it's actually like a look into something realistic.
We're definitely
that's like
gonna,
the Wire version of that. This is just offensive.
No, I'm definitely going to talk about that. So the fun fact for this week is that I am inspired by Triplehorn's fashion in this movie.
Really?
And I'm going to be wearing coats with furry collars. Maybe a robe, since we don't really have anywhere to go. So, like,
that's
get a
true.
Robe with, like, a furry
She was very furry around the collar.
Yeah, and around the wrists. Yeah. It was awesome. So I'm going to dress like that. Yeah.
Whole silhouette, because she had like the short hair with the collar that replaced any of the hair that was cut. So it was
short,
like this
voluminous
whole boom, boom,
haircut.
Boom. Yeah.
Pow. There it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a good statement piece, like necklace.
That's a good idea.
Coats with fur collars. That's all I want. Okay, so anyway, that's my 2021 vibes, everybody.
I like it.
Speaking it into existence. Okay, so we begin a B-roll of New York City, and it looks like we're going over the Brooklyn Bridge. There is a truck that seems to be the main character of the movie. You know how, like, you're like, whenever you're following, it's like there's a very specific white Mercedes, like, driving on the...
This is clearly our truck.
Like, this is our
ooh, what's
going
to happen
truck.
To this truck?
It's a delivery truck, and it says Ross on it. And then the song "I Don't Know Why I Love You, But I Do" is playing. So we are already understanding that this is an Italian movie, because they play Rosemary Clooney, they play Louis Prima, they play
single, to every Italian standard from Mambo Italiano to every single.
It sounded like we were in Buca di Peppa.
Exactly. You're in a bad Italian chain restaurant where they have the same soundtrack. They have like that mob hits CD they used to advertise in 2001 on TV, and it was like, all the soundtrack of every movie.
So they have that playing. A Taya Leone type character is looking at her watch, and she looks very upset and stressed out.
She does look like it. She looks like if Taya Leone had like an understated little sister. It would be this woman, because I thought it was her at first. And it's
I did too, and I was like, oh, Taya Leone. And I was like, nope, not Taya Leone.
No.
Okay, so she looks upset, and she looks very much like she's stressed out, like she has to deliver bad news to somebody. So, well done. I can tell immediately just on your face. I'm like, oh man, she's got to... Whoever's going to hear this news is not going to be happy.
Oh boy, there's some stress here. Yeah, you see it working.
Woofa. All right. So anyway, Hugh Grant is an auctioneer at an auction. He's making hilarious commentary, and I mean, he is crushing it.
He's crushing with the old moneyed Upper East Side crowd. He's really...
Oh, she's on the phone with her mom. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, he's working the crowd. He's got crowd work
down
with science.
He's doing crowd work. He's... really crushing it. And I mean, also selling some paintings, so it's not like people appreciate his craft, so that's good.
He's not doing like fast auctioneering. He's doing just like it's very conversational.
He's being very like, how's it going, I'm robbing you blind, look at me.
40,000 45.
What's 40,000 to you anyway? A couple of the paintings are missing because there was a delivery problem. So you're like, oh boy, you can already see where the Italians are going to be coming in, because there's a delivery problem.
Anytime there's trucks, somehow we're involved in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time there's trucks, something's falling off of it. So
falling off of it. It's delayed. It's going to be on time.
Yeah.
It's all we control all the trucks, everybody. Yeah. That's how it works. You see anything that's the problem.
And that's exactly why they started on a
all
truck.
All of them, by
they
the
were
way.
Like, all the Italians are going to be like, oh, look at this, a truck. Yeah.
Especially the art trucks. We're really
going for those art trucks.
We got the art trucks cornered at market. No one can touch it. The Russians tried to muscle their way in, but we were like, no, this one's ours.
These are our trucks.
Sotheby's is our territory, cocksuckers. Fucking, I don't know.
There's two... I don't know if they look suspicious, but they're just like these two men that are standing in the back, and you're like, that's weird, because they're wearing trench coats. But it's also 1999. Everybody's always wearing a trench coat in 1999 in New York.
Yeah. It's preferably leather, probably.
Yeah. So since the paintings are not there, he's like, by the way, everybody, I'm super embarrassed. And everybody's like, oh,
And he's like, I'm sorry. None of the rest of the catalog is here.
So he's leaving. And so he goes and talks to Taya Leone. And he's just like, what happened?
Hydrox Leone.
They're doing like an Aaron Sorkin walk and talk. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know what happened. The truck didn't show up. And then
and she's got
like,
her like coat.
Yeah.
She's got like her like day planner book thing, like in her coat with her coat. Oh, she's like this like. She's like a munchkin person.
Yeah.
Like she's not, she has no, she's like, I don't even like,
She was very breathy.
They needed to make her like a character that she like overcame whatever the fuck that was. Like, I really wasn't that. She was too mousy.
So they're doing a walk and talk about what happened with the paintings and then with the trucks. And it's just like, there's no follow-up. Like, I would be like, when are we get, what's happening? Are we, do, now I have to file another insurance claim or something like that. But he's just like, oh, like, that no, instructs. You paid money for those. They should be delivered.
Well,
so get them.
Yeah.
But like, they'll be here eventually. Like, I'd be like, don't worry, Hugh Grant. Yeah, I've already left them several voicemails.
It's been, trust me.
He would be like, oh.
Customer service has been notified.
And I emailed them, and I messaged them on Twitter, and I messaged them on Facebook. And you'd be like, okay. Anyway, so.
99, then, it would be like, I made a poor reception cell phone call to them, and I think they got most of it.
Yeah.
That's how I, that's what I did.
I got cut off, but I think I got my message across. Okay.
Exactly.
So he is talking to her now about, you don't think 3 months is too soon. And then he's like, you know, do you think that 3 months has been too soon? I mean, I haven't even met her family yet.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I think it's great. Just as long as you, you know, make sure that you tell her that you love her and like, whatever. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
And we talked about the 3 month thing because you're like, why 3 months?
Yeah. Like I was like, do people get married after?
No, well,
like, do they like
no
proposings of marriage after 3 months?
Not usually, but they had. And I was, my guess was they had to make it a low enough amount of time to the most amount of time that it could be to where they know each other the most. But he, it wouldn't be weird that he hasn't met her family yet.
But it still is weird because, okay,
3 months is weird, but they all live in the same city. So if they were together for a year and he's like, I still haven't met your family, you'd be like, why the fuck hasn't he met her family? It's been a fucking year.
I know, but
what's
like,
going on?
If they lived in a different city,
yeah.
And if she was like, yeah, we live in Minneapolis
that
now.
That would be different.
And then he's like, is 3 months too soon? I want to propose to my girlfriend. Is it weird that I haven't met her family? Well, that makes sense because that's in, they're in another state.
Yeah.
But 3 months, I'd be like,
3 months is early.
Well,
anyway.
She also, you know, to not like, you know, you'd at least meet their family.
You would imagine you'd want the whole picture, but
yeah, especially if he's like, oh, my dad's really important to me,
it's
and like
Hugh
blah blah
Grant,
blah.
Though he's gonna,
and then no, but like she avoids going to Little Italy and over by his restaurant because she doesn't want. Like she goes out of her way to make sure Hugh Grant does not.
That's what I mean. So I don't know what her
end
game is.
So I would think
here.
It was weird too. I wouldn't even think like, is 3 months too soon? I would be like, should I be proposing to this broad who goes out of her way to avoid introducing me to her dad?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point
anyway,
too.
A man in a limo picks Hugh Grant up and then one of the guys that was in the back of the auction.
I don't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. I think that's just a guy thing. Women always want to meet a guy's family. They want to know more. Men, we don't care either way. We don't give a shit. We're not dying to meet your family. We don't care.
If
you said my whole family died in an explosion, we'd go, this is perfect. This is great.
Ballsy move. My family listens to
this podcast. I'm not saying that your family's bad. Mm-hmm. I meant men in general. That's what they think. If they met a girl, she's great, and her whole family died in an explosion, you go, this is fantastic.
It's fucking, wow.
That's what people would think. Whereas women would be like, well, I need to know the background and I need to, you know, how's he treat his mom? And so
we don't,
it's not a concern of ours, how you treat your family or how they treat you.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, I don't mean that we're not interested in your problems. Probably most of the time we're not. But even if we are, that's not the point. My point is, you know.
And you
we
love
prefer.
My family.
Your family's great.
Thank you.
I prefer they don't die in an explosion.
Jeez. Okay, so the guy that was in the back of the art gallery is in the limo. And then he is a prospective customer. He wants to give them all of his dad's art collection to auction, I guess.
And he plays a gangster and everything, that guy.
Yeah,
too.
He's always
one of those, yeah.
But he was like, yeah, sorry about, I don't know if it was like, you're seeing how we auction.
Yeah, I'd be here seeing behind the curtain. I don't know why they kept walking the guy around. He's there on like 8 separate occasions walking around.
He is at the guy's apart. I'm like, what are we doing?
Just giving him a tour of stuff. You've seen our operation.
To always catch Hugh Grant doing something weird.
Oh, that's the thing. That's always the comedy moment is
and
this
so
guy walking in.
He says that Sotheby's doesn't have any delivery problems.
No delivery problems for Sotheby's.
So then the boss says, good luck tonight. Here's, this boss is so silly at the auction house or whatever the hell it's called. He is so fucking goofy. And you'd think that he would be like more terrifying because they sell some of these paintings like for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No.
And he's just like, ooh, what fun. Does anybody want to do like what?
He's the silly, goofy.
Well, everybody's silly.
Yeah.
Because Hugh Grant, it would have been funnier if everybody was really straight laced. And was like, what's wrong with you, Hugh Grant? How come you're like, you know, whatever.
Played it straight. Yeah.
And then he's like, huh.
But then it might have been a half decent attempt at a movie, but instead they had to make it this, which was just everybody was goofy.
Yeah.
Everybody is goofy. That's what I mean. We can't go for straight works great in comedy. You don't. Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't have to be a goofball.
No.
And they make every single character a goofball.
Every single character is a goofball, yeah.
Without exception.
Also, this movie, Hugh Grant always plays a character who is involved with murder.
Yeah,
and is oddly cool about it.
He's odd. Yeah.
It's a little too natural for him, is all I'm going to say.
It's a good point. This was a lot of Hugh Grant this week because we watched that other
We watched
shit.
The Undoing on HBO
On
Max,
HBO, and I'm like, this is a lot
just,
of Hugh Grant.
No, it's just, you know, that's...
It's too much Grant for one week.
Oh, yeah, we're granted out.
And he has aged horribly, is the other
Not
thing.
Not good.
That's a 20-year difference. My fuck is he has aged horribly.
Yeah.
He looks 40 years older now than he did in this movie. It's disturbing. Yeah. It really, I get in the movie.
Hugh Grant has lived.
Whoa. I mean, Jesus Christ, you. I don't know what you're doing, but stop doing it for a while.
Okay, we have to talk about this movie, though.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I know.
This is just.
So the boss says, I just found myself. I was like, what else have we been watching? Let's just talk about anything else.
I hate it.
We've been training Benny how to communicate using buttons.
That's true. We've been doing that.
So the boss says, good luck tonight. And here we have Hugh Grant picking up Triple Horn. They're going to go at school that she works at. They're going to go somewhere very special, but we're late. So we're literally sprinting.
Yeah.
Through
New
York.
The reservation.
We are out of breath and we're laughing and making fun of how Hugh Grant runs.
And are they eating at 3:30 in the afternoon? Is that the reservation?
Yeah, it looked like it was
pretty light out. She got out of school. It's 3:30 in the afternoon and they're running through a goddamn... And it looked like it was cold out, so that means that it's light out, so it's even earlier.
Yeah, so this movie is odd because, they're running for some reason. She has no idea where they're taking, where he's taking her, why he's like, I'm taking you out for something very special. He doesn't mention, whether it's saying, I love you, the big thing of, is 3 months too soon to say I love you, or is it to pop the question, or do
he's
you want to move
weird.
In with me? Yeah, he's just kind of you think that's whatever, but... We don't know. She's not acting where are we going? I would be no fun. If this was going to be a surprise, I would be no fun. I'd be like, just tell me where we're going. I just need to know where we're going. I just want to know where we're going. I don't know why I can't know where we're going.
To surprise you, I'd have to tell you we're going somewhere and not go there. But I couldn't tell you. I'm not telling you where we're going because then it would just be a nightmare. The whole time it would be, where are we going? You're going to tell me. Well, I don't want to go then if you're not going to tell me. And be like, fine, we're not going to the goddamn thing then, okay? You don't want to go? We won't go. Forget it. This is going to be a beautiful, magical fucking night, but now... No, I guess
I'm laughing
not.
So hard. This is so mean.
I guess not now. Never mind. I'm turning around.
I really ruin everything. No, I really do. Funny. I do. I tell James that I will be. I'm gonna be so mad at you if you don't tell me. And he's like, "Why?" I'm like, "I'm just gonna."
I know. Will you just let me do something?
I don't like to be surprised by things. I like to know.
So this is the other thing too. Where they end up is they go for they do not miss any opportunity to go for the lowest, just the lowest hanging fruit they fucking possibly can.
Yeah, so we don't know where we're going or anything like that. And then we're out of breath and she's like, oh, stop, I have to stop. It was just, I was just laughing at how you run. He's like, why, what's wrong with how I run? Every line is, let's make Hugh Grant self-conscious about something.
Yeah.
And, go ahead and just run with it, Hugh. So they are 20 minutes late. They're pretty sure they've lost their reservation.
They show Mulberry Street to show you it's Little Italy.
It's Little Italy, and he has a reservation.
Plan B, then.
Yeah, so she's like, oh, we're not going to my father's restaurant, right? And he's like, I don't know. I don't even know what it's called.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then she said it's called the La Trattoria.
Yes, which he...
And
says,
he's like, doesn't that mean, he's like, no, don't you mean La Trattoria? She's like, no, I mean this, which is stupid because we're already making the dad out to seem like he is a joke mobster.
Because
guy.
It's
not real.
Yeah, because they're going to make fun of, it's because everything is lowest common denominator. It's, I mean, it's so bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. So it doesn't seem to be so important that the plans are going through. They go to a Chinese food restaurant.
And how do they, by the way, how do they cut to that?
I don't know.
he says, oh, we'll go to plan B. They do like a fucking gong, and then it's literal like fucking music playing in the restaurant while some lady's like, would you like? I'm not going to do a bad Chinese accent, but it's literally.
You kind of did.
I don't even have that one. I don't really have that one, honestly. I went and I was like, that's not in my.
It's okay.
It was ridiculous, yeah. Man. It's lowest hanging fruit in every aspect.
It was really bad. So I just didn't understand how that. I'm like, so it doesn't seem like the night is any less special. And then they're at dinner, and Hugh Grant is asking about her dad. Like, oh, so how was your weekend? Like, how was hanging out with your dad? Did you see your dad? Did you talk to your dad? How's your dad? What's your dad doing? Like, whatever. Yeah. So I'm like, well, maybe he is thinking. Is he trying to be like, I think I should meet your family? Like, yeah. You know, I'm like, I wonder what he's doing.
He's trying to look like he's concerned with just her ass.
And she says, I'll introduce you to him. Don't worry about it. And then she tells him about the restaurant called the La Trattoria. Hugh Grant asks the owner of the Chinese food restaurant to put a specific fortune to go in Triple Horn's fortune cookie. Okay.
Yes.
So what was the original plan? And did you just have a fortune made? Whatever restaurant you went to?
I mean, plan B, maybe he had a backup, but I don't see...
That's a lot of effort.
Yeah, what was he going to do with that for?
What if the Chinese food restaurant was full?
If the other place, if he made the reservation, then what? I don't know what was going to go on.
That was full, and then what? What do you do?
I don't know the point of them missing a reservation. They could have just been going to the Chinese place. It would have made more sense.
Or they could have been like, hey, we're going to go to dinner, and then they're completely full. And they're like, I'm sorry, like, we lost your reservation.
Either way.
Fuck, we have to, whatever. But it didn't seem like it was that bad.
No,
that
it was
they
a
lost
wasted
their reservation.
Scene. No, it wasn't. So this was
so,
bad.
So anyway, so she asks the owner to, he asks the owner to put a specific fortune in the fortune cookie. It gets mixed up. So hers is, they're trying to, it's Hugh Grant and the Chinese food restaurant owner, like, arguing with her, saying, you need to eat this cookie right now. She's like, no, I don't want to.
At one point, the owner says, because the Triple Horn says, I don't want to eat it. I'm not going to be bossed around by a waitress. And she says, I'm not the waitress. I'm the owner. Eat the fucking cookie in this heavy Chinese accent. And
it was
Jesus.
Awesome.
It was very aggressive.
Oh, no, she was Korean, correct? I'm pretty sure she was Korean.
She was in Chinatown, so I don't know.
Who knows?
If she was working in a Chinese restaurant in Chinatown.
It's fine. So Hugh Grant hears somebody else. Oh my God, Todd. Yes. Oh my God. And then the guy looks horrified. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And so he goes and he grabs the fortune and he says, like, this was actually for you, Triple Horn, and then shows the ring. And then she reads the fortune.
Even his proposal's bumbling, Hugh Grant.
He's like, you know, what exactly I want, you know, because she's like, what am I don't even know what to say. He's like, well, I like what she said. Pot from the Jeffrey pot, like,
yeah,
you know,
if you
whatever.
Leave the Jeffrey pot out.
He asks her to marry him. She acts super weird and says, I can't, I'm sorry. Just gets up and runs away. Sprints out of the restaurant. sometimes her accent is so thick. I can't, I'm sorry. And then she gets up and runs away. And then other times it's just normal.
You can't even, I'm not even going to try to pin it on that because there's just too much.
Yeah.
There's just too much shit to even get mired in accents.
So Hugh Grant goes to Triple Horn's apartment building to go find her. The one guy from Sopranos is here. He used to work on the construction site for Tony Soprano.
He's the guy who tried to fuck Meadow's boyfriend.
Yeah.
That guy.
And Triple Horn came crying. She went upstairs, she packed a bag, and then she came back down and left. And Hugh Grant's like, do you know where she went? And he's like, I don't know. I guess she probably went to go to her dad's. And then was like, what happened? Like, what did you do to make her so upset? Well, I asked her to marry me. And he's like, oh, and he's punching him in the balls. And
he's in a friendly way to show, hey, this is how Italians do things, right?
Yeah, the doorman calls the dad and is telling the dad about that Hugh Grant is on his way. So Hugh Grant goes to
the La Trattoria,
to go and talk to her father. At this restaurant, Artie Bucco is here.
Artie Bucco from The Sopranos.
Yeah, everybody is here.
Yeah, you got Paulie from fucking Rocky there.
Yep.
He's the big
Uncle Vito. And then we've got Vinny, I think that was Jelly?
Yeah, he's Vinny, and then you got the other Richie's her brother who's dumb or whatever.
So they are
his character. He's
all,
the dumb one.
Yeah, so they're all Vinny is he's talking to Hugh Grant about his auction business. Everybody's just like, oh, you're Michael. They're like, yeah, cool. So I've never heard of a job like yours. Like, they're asking him questions about it. And then they're asking him, like, so I heard you got delivery problems. And then, like, hey, what?
Yeah,
because
he
had said
that. He's like, oh, I've just been arguing with truck drivers. Yeah. That's all.
James Caan is our dad, and he is introducing us to everybody. We meet Vinny Carmine, Vito. That's everybody in every single Italian show. Movie.
There's everybody.
There's a Vito. There's a Vinny. Hey. There's a Paulie. There's a Carmine.
Remember him from Goodfellas? What about him from Analyze
There's
This? How about that guy?
Yeah.
They got all the regular names. Yeah. The names. It's not very creative when it comes to that shit.
No.
This is where it starts, where you're really like, man, this is going to be bad. This
so,
is gonna be all
Uncle,
stereotypes.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Vito says to James Caan, you two should talk. Hugh Grant goes.
Should talk.
He goes in the back in the secret little dining area because that's what every Italian person that has a restaurant they have like a table in the back.
Oh yeah, that's where we have our secret meetings slash murders back there. That's just in case you guys don't know.
So
in on the out from the outside,
they're going back there. They're talking. Triple Horn's brother is like playing music really loud and distracting him, and James Caan's like, I can't even hear myself think.
His character is that he's an idiot, so every scene he's in, he just does something stupid, and that's
and everybody asks him, what's wrong with you? Yeah. And he's like, I don't know.
That's the big comedy, you know. Yeah. Hey, we can always have a comedy break when this idiot's in. Yeah. It's so bad.
So he gets to be ridiculous, and then James Caan is embarrassed of him the whole time.
Yeah,
and
he
then.
Always is.
So that's like we get like two jokes out of it. So it's good.
they attempt a few more, but there's
James Caan says that he is a good judge of character. He said he fell in love with his wife at first sight. And then when he first looked at Charles Manson, he knew that guy was up to no good. I love that as a reference.
He was up to no good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's that's very prescient of you. We've all seen the Manson mugshot. You don't look at that and go, what a nice young man. Everybody go, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he is
fucking
insane.
Psycho.
Hugh Grant goes to find the bathroom. He's snooping around and he sees some man in a meat locker.
Yeah.
And the guy's just
standing
like,
there in
there,
a suit,
like, shivering. And
just
waves at him. Hugh Grant asks for James Caan's permission for his daughter's hand in marriage, and James Caan accepts. Okay. I just don't like he's never met him before.
No.
And then the first time that he is meeting him, he's like, hi, sir, I want to marry your daughter. I feel like that's not what an actual.
I feel like James Caan is fine with it because he's a British guy and he's got like a respectable job. He's a British guy that works with art. So he's like, oh, he's nice. He's not.
But like,
he's not even going to beat the shit out of you. Nothing, probably this guy.
Any other mafia movie, he'd be like having Vinny do like a background check on him.
I agree with that part. Yeah, they probably. We're assuming that's been done already, I suppose.
No, he's just in already.
Yeah,
he's just
loves
in
him.
From the moment. He's like, oh, I got the good news. And it's like, what?
I guess he did. Plus, I guess Triple Horns. What is
and
she?
Also, Italian men don't trust anybody.
She's got to be pushing her late 30s in this movie, too. So I think maybe he's like, all right, clock's ticking here. Yeah. Go ahead, marry up. I don't give a shit at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like,
you're
encouraging
would be asking so
her
many
she
questions.
She wants to be, you know.
You would be asking so many questions.
I would.
You've only been dating for 3 months. How can you marry her so fast?
Again, these are little details in this movie that everything is wrong with this movie, including the details. So we could get hung up on details, major plot points.
Oh, major plot points is
a big one. It's all there.
So Hugh Grant just goes to James Caan's house. Where Triple Horn is.
Fuck it.
So he's just like not even afraid to meet this guy. You'd think that Hugh Grant would be like, oh, wow, these people are mafia people. Like,
he doesn't know that.
But he sees a man in a walk-in. I know, but like everything is kind of like,
Is
this really happening?
He's so British and so not from this world that he doesn't even know what the heck's going on. That's why later he's like, into his little recorder, he's like, rent Goodfellas Casino, Godfather 1, 2, 3. Like he's trying to like catch up on the culture.
You did like a catch up on the culture, like you did a little dance.
Yeah. Because that's how he talks.
Triple Horn is sleeping in her childhood bedroom and she's like, "No, Dad, I can't." He's like, "Oh, it's me." I would be so mad. Like, get out of my dad's house.
Did you break into my parents' house? Yeah. What the hell's wrong with you?
So she's like, she hugs him and she's like, "I love you so much. Why would you ask me to marry you? Like, what's wrong with you?" And he's being very Hugh Grant. She can't talk in the house. She can't talk in the house, she says. So she says, they take a walk down the block and she's like, "Listen, I can't marry you because of my father." And he's like, "No sweat. I went to go meet your father and he's great. I love him.
Great guy. Like, we're best buds." Yeah.
And Triple Horn is just like, "Oh, great. So you met my dad and everybody in the Graziosi crime family. And my dad was in prison until I was 8 and he's one of them. And, you know."
Yeah, Uncle Vito is the boss of the family, and this one's in. We just got out for double murder.
And then she's like, "No, I'm so like, no, sorry, it's over because my family is mafia, so I can't date you anymore."
Yeah, because you're English, so that's how that works.
And so she's like, no, because you don't know how clever they are. And Hugh Grant is like, "It's totally fine. I don't mind the mafia-ness of your family."
And
like,
she's like, "They're going to pull you in, we'll just a favor this here, yeah, and a little thing here.
Yeah. We'll do this, and we're in this together." And she's like, "Oh my God, really?" And he goes, "Yeah." And she like smiles, and she like wipes her tears. And I'm like, I don't even know. You guys have been dating for 3 months.
Yeah.
And you've been avoiding meeting this. So it's like, okay, fine. So let's just say you're avoiding meeting the dad because you're like, no, it seems like she is like embarrassed. And then that's the other thing. It's like, why are you embarrassed? And then you live in the same city and then you're in the bed. You're in your childhood bedroom right now.
That's what I mean. She's doing that. And she goes to him, even though she's so embarrassed of him.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. Yeah. That. And then when she's out in the street, he's just like, "No, it's fine." She's like, "Oh, okay." And I'm like, what is going on? How is she so agreeable? Like, have you ever met a fucking Italian girl from New York? Guess what? My whole family are all of them. No, none of them are that agreeable.
No.
There would be an argument about, "Oh, yeah. Do you know my father's like this? Do you know that? Do you know this? Do you know that?" No, because you're a fucking idiot. You shouldn't have broken him. Like, she'd be kicking him and slapping him. And Hugh Grant would be mumbling and stuttering. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, this is ridiculous. My mother has stabbed my stepfather with a fork. Do you understand that? A fork. It's just the closest sharp object.
It was just wild because she, like, she...
is phony as shit.
Michael Corleone...
Yeah.
Went because he was like, "I don't want to be a part of that shit at all.
Yeah,
I don't want to do it."
Signed
up for the army. Shacked up with Diane Keaton.
She could move away, is what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She could move away. She was like,
she could live in Milwaukee tomorrow.
I always go to my fucking childhood bedroom when I'm crying my eyes out. And I'm sure that she probably...
Yeah. She could be in Raleigh next weekend.
How does she afford that super nice apartment with a doorman?
It's a nice apartment.
On a high school teacher salary.
That's the other thing. It's a big, spacious apartment with a Vito the doorman down there. I don't understand the whole thing. Yeah,
so
she's getting
I'm
help,
like,
I
you're
like.
Obviously okay with your dad being in the mafia. Now, it's okay if you're like, "Oh my God, my dad's so embarrassing," because he is kind of embarrassing. But she's not like that. She's like, "He's no good. He's mafia." And it's like, yeah, but you are fine. So are you then,
you're
obviously.
In his house.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're fine with it. You were just eating a sandwich out of his refrigerator. Move to Seattle if you don't fuck
You were hanging out with him yesterday.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
What?
And I just thought of something else too. One last thing on this. This is like, you know, a big, let's all make fun of the guinea thing here. Out of all of the leads of this movie, there is not one Italian person in a lead role in this movie, by the way, that just makes fun of Italian people the entire time. Not fucking one.
No.
Every single character, with the exception of Hugh Grant, is supposed to be very Italian, but not one. James Caan gets a pass because he's Sonny Corleone, so it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Yeah. James Caan always gets a pass. We're like, fine, it's Sonny Corleone. We'll take that. But the rest of them... They couldn't find a fucking Italian actress for that role?
Right. Okay, so folks at home,
maybe she is and I'm blowing off my top for nothing, but...
We watched The Undoing.
Yeah.
And I talked to three different people. Two out of the three people were Italian when I was talking to them about The Undoing.
Yeah.
One person was not Italian. Both Italian people mentioned Oh, Elena is Italian. She's so beautiful. She's actually from Italy and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the show is really good and da, 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 da. And then the other person was like, the show is so awesome. And so I laughed because I looked up the actress and she's absolutely Italian. Yeah. And it was so when they get very excited about.
Yeah, we get excited. Yeah, she's from Oklahoma, this bro. She's not Italian. Yeah, let's hire the not Italian chick from Oklahoma to play that one. And we'll get James Caan. And then we'll get Burt Young, who also gets a pass because he was in Rocky. But he is also Burt fucking Young. I don't hear Val at the end of that either. So
anyway, so we are engaged.
Sorry.
We're engaged now. The engagement is back on because there was very little argument.
No, Vinny, you stand there and eat a sandwich. Okay, now speaking role people, that's what I feel like is going on there. No, sandwiches and really just muck it. Talk with your hands and grab your crotches and things. Okay, now you people, back to the speaking roles.
Grab your sandwich.
One hand on your sandwich, one hand on your cock. Okay,
and
perfect.
And keep your hands to yourselves, okay?
Adjust your ball sacks every 30,
it's fine. James
seconds.
Is doing fine. We're having a big party for the engagement now. Uncle Vito is at the party, and he's asking how the school is. Oh, it's fine. Only two shootings. So he's like, you know, I can take care of this for you. Like, you know,
you
I'll help
transfer.
You out. I'll get you a transfer.
Got a friend in the supervisor's office.
Then they ask Hugh Grant how he feels about all the shootings, and he's
all the killings,
and he's basically like, oh, you know, it's I've gotten comfortable with it. Like, you know, just know that it's part of the and whoever gets killed, likely deserves it. And
he said,
blah,
it's
blah,
a
blah.
Part of your business. I understand. Yeah. And from what I understand, the people get killed are the ones that are actually, you know, doing something to cause
and then
themselves. And
the James Caan says, we mean the ones at the high school. And he goes, oh, I am against it.
Oh, I'm against them.
Uncle Vito is showing them all the paintings that are around his house. And then my favorite line from Hugh Grant in this movie is, so he shows him the one, did Artie Bucco paint them?
Yeah, okay. Artie Bucco is the son.
He's Johnny Graziosi. And
Jesus Christ.
So this painting is fucking hilarious. And Hugh Grant says, tell me, why does Jesus have a machine gun?
Tell me, why does Jesus have a machine gun? That is a pretty good line.
It's so good.
That's a good
goddamn
line.
Uncle Vito tries to help him. He's like, listen, I have friends who would love to help out a friend of mine. James is happy to explain to you what it means in the Italian culture, if it means a friend of mine, a friend of ours.
Yeah, I had to explain that. Yeah
I had that. To just have that be explained to me there.
Yeah, then she's
Hugh Grant declines, and Triple Horn's very proud of him. She's looking at him like, that's my guy. Because she does not want him to get involved. And
no.
Hugh Grant stood his ground, and she's like, listen, I'm very excited about my choices in my fiancé.
My non-mafioso fiancé.
Mm-hmm. James Caan is singing at this party now, so... Okay.
obviously not James Caan singing.
It's not. And he is like, I think he was singing My Way. Was he singing My Way?
No, it was some... it was. I don't fucking remember.
I don't remember.
I have so many. There's
but
so many songs in
this movie.
He was
doing this like, he looked like an old man, like, you know, when they're like, come on, you have to look like you're singing. And he's like, nah. Like,
yeah, all right.
Nah. Like, he doesn't
raised
look
eyebrows.
Like he's, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely not
I'm doing
singing.
This for you.
Mouth is open, but it doesn't look like there's anything coming out.
So Hugh Grant is at work the next day, and he's making a memo to himself to rent The Godfather and Casino and Goodfellas. He sees an old lady looking at paintings, and she looks
100.
Like she's 85,
she crawled,
90 years old.
She crawled out of a coffin to come to the art gallery. She's like, wait, maybe tomorrow.
And she said that buying a painting is an investment, and she, you know, only just learned it, so she would like to buy a painting.
Because her father just passed away and left her a great deal of money.
Yeah. And Hugh Grant, of course, had to make the ever funny. I'm sure that was a shock to you.
Oh, your father's. I'm sure that must have been
because
a shock.
That's how old she looked. Is that like? Oh, I'm sure that you know your dad being 110 must have been a shock to you.
Big shock.
Anyway, the trucks are here and they are on time, and they have all of the paintings in them, so the order is early and complete.
All the delivery
guys are apologizing to them. I'm sorry for ever disrespecting you. If you ever felt like I disrespected you, any other times that I ever think about disrespecting you for this. I apologize.
You Grant, from now on, when I jerk off, only your image is going to be in my head. out of respect.
It's a guarantee.
Out of respect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to find you and only you attractive from now on. Out of respect. I'm going to make my wife talk with an English accent and, you know, cut a fucking hair like you got and everything. You know, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about it.
Out of respect.
Out of respect. That's what it is. That's, you don't understand. Might as well. They should have had triple horn. She's already in fettuccine face doing this movie to begin with, so why
this
not?
This is the Italian love language. They are showing their love. They're taking care of their family and loved ones with intimidation.
That's how we do.
They're like, listen, if you're going to lose my guy's paintings, I'm going to break your fucking legs.
That, if we can intimidate someone in the service of someone that we love, yeah, we feel like there's no greater thing we could do in the world than that.
Oh, no.
It's good.
So, but solve because their problem. I have the short gal complex, so like I'm ready to get in somebody's face. Does that make you upset or proud?
Oh, I'm proud. I like it. Yeah. I like your spunk. Into it.
I just didn't want to take away from your...
Fuck that. No, I want you to have drive, damn.
Great.
It.
Thank you. I'm really working on it this year. I'm really leaning into it every year. And especially this year, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to lean into it like three times.
Got a little bit of verve to you. I dig it. Yeah.
All right. So Hugh Grant is arguing on the phone with James Caan now because they put the Machine Gun Jesus painting at the auction house. So they also delivered that one.
Machine Gun Jesus. Wasn't that a country song?
No,
I forgot. I thought that was a Toby Keith song.
Machine Gun Jesus came down from the clouds.
And he put his boots on and he...
he put a bullet in his brain. I'm Machine Gun Jesus.
No.
Yeah, I like it. I want a very violent...
Machine Gun Jesus puts a boot up your ass.
Put a sandal up your ass, Machine Gun Jesus.
Yeah, sandals, though. You know, he's going to be sandal guy.
Okay.
But he'll still put it up your ass. Whatever his footwear is that day is going right up your ass, mister. Take that.
Okay. We have been watching Heaven's Gate, so we have to get to
that. A lot of cult shit in my mind.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay. So, James Caan is on the phone and he's like, listen, you just have to do this one favor for me. I don't get it. It's not going to look very good for you if you don't do it. And, you know, Hugh Grant is like, well, I don't know what that means. And that sounds scary to me. James Caan is also torturing a man to pay him, by making him run on a treadmill.
That's James Caan. The big joke with him is apparently he has alternative methods of intimidation.
Putting him in the meat locker. Making him run on the incline on the treadmill.
He's like, I don't have your money. He's like, I'm going to have to put you on mountain climb. And he's going to fucking thing in
which
first.
With all the salted cured pork.
Yeah, this
products
guy. Yeah, you're going to kill this guy.
No, the treadmill will be the best thing for him.
Well, not on that level. He's going to fucking have a heart attack right there in his office. Then he's not going to get a dime. Not smart, James Caan.
Yeah, that's what
you're
I mean.
You're going to kill this man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's getting him in shape for a longer term,
I guess,
bleeding of him.
It's possibly a long con.
Yeah.
At the auction, I don't understand why. We're at a new auction now. Sorry. I don't understand why Hugh Grant came up with like a system with the old lady. Like, I will signal you to let you know like which painting I think you should get. You would get a good deal on or something like that.
Yeah, something that's going for under price.
Yeah, and so I don't know why he didn't just signal to the old lady to buy Vito's.
Well, he was trying not to fuck her over. That's a shit painting, and he knows it, so he doesn't want to take her. He was trying to help the old lady.
Okay.
That's Hugh Grant's save the cat moment.
Okay.
Save the old lady. It's his deal.
So the man from the freezer has a broken arm, and he's the one that bought the painting. Artie Bucco is arguing with his girlfriend in the auction place. He's always arguing with her.
He's always
like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What does that mean when you like this guy? Like, I get it because Artie Bucco is like balding, but he has the personality of a man with more hair.
He's a crazy emotional, you know. He's just very jealous. What are you doing? He's just a stereotypical.
Yeah. I didn't like how you said hi.
Yeah, it's really stereotypical,
but
annoying
like,
bullshit.
Yeah. Is it because he has like only a couple of sprouts of hair on top of his head?
No, he's just supposed to be an aggressive... That's an Italian stereotype, the jealous boyfriend yelling at
him.
Well, Marie, what are you doing? Get over here. I don't like you looking at that guy.
Oh, no.
That's all it is.
What's that? Buttafuoco?
Joey Buttafuoco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Mary Jo.
Mary Jo.
I love Mary Jo! Hey!
We watched... Fuck this movie for a minute. I love I love like bad biopics, like TV made biopics, and I'll like track them down to watch them because they're always so bad and funny. So I tracked down like all of the Joey Buttafuoco like network TV movies that are from like the 90s. Oh my God, they're fucking hilarious. Yeah. One has Drew Barrymore in it. The other has Alyssa Milano in it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So anyway, one is pro Amy Fisher. It's from her standpoint. And the other one is pro Joey Buttafuoco.
Of course.
And if you don't know who Joey Buttafuoco is, you should probably tell our younger listeners. First of all, look up Joey Buttafuoco. Yes, it's a real name and a real person. That's an actual...
He's amazing.
It's not like a Howard Stern side character.
No, he's
it's
an
a real
asshole.
Person. This fucking mook Long Island, you know, body shop owner of a car place was allegedly banging the 16-year-old girl and all this shit. And the girl ended up shooting his wife in the head outside the guy's front yard here.
Oh, my
and
God.
She said that he put her up to it, and he said, I don't know, I stopped talking to this girl months
ago.
I love Mary Jo. And in the movie, Joey Buttafuoco, the one movie, is the greatest guy ever.
Oh,
they
God.
Make him... He's just, hey, I love Mary Jo. Oh, well, I didn't give it a herpes. What are you talking about? No. And she admits it's hilarious.
Oh, God. It's so good. But whenever James does, I love Mary Jo, it makes me.
Love Mary Jo.
It makes me unspeakably happy.
Hold on. I got to get my dick out of this 16-year-old. Hold on, Mary Jo. I love you.
Look at you.
Look at you. Look at you. You're beautiful. All right. There we go. I'm sorry, Mary
Ew.
Jo. Dinner ready.
Ew.
Hey.
Ew. Apparently there is traffic. We're stuck in traffic and there's a big fire at an art place at Sotheby's. Then when Hugh Grant gets to his office, there's a matchbook of Sotheby's.
The competing art auction art, house yeah. has been
the
burned.
FBI is here. They're asking about the painting selling. He says, yeah, I mean, we've definitely sold first time sellers before. And he's like, well, the man who bought the painting owed Vito Graziosi $50,000. So, you know, that's how much the painting went for. So, you know, this is money laundering, essentially. So
extremely efficient crime investigating, by the way. This happened
next day,
like 12 hours earlier. Yeah. And they're like, listen, we have the whole plot figured out. We know. Yeah. It's like, wow.
So they are asking, like, do you know anything about the crime family? Do you know anybody from the crime family? And James Caan is coming to visit Hugh Grant at work. He's like walking up and he sees people in the office. And as he's approaching the window of the office and he sees them, he just like jumps down and crawls out of the auction office.
Terrible
like
physical comedy.
And then the guy who's looking to sell his dad's paintings
course,
are there watching
right
James Caan crawl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Tony Soprano would never. He would come in and he would fucking say hi to the FBI agents
Something.
And like make fun of them. And
something's got
to
be smoother
blah, blah, blah.
Than
they would. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, shit. James Caan. Anyway, so...
Such a bad...
Then James Caan comes in. It's so funny. So he'll get caught... Or like, you know, Hugh Grant will get caught up in mafia stuff from James Caan. Mm. And James Caan, after any scene where like somebody has been inconvenienced by the mafia-ness, James Caan almost always enters the next scene wearing the biggest sunglasses I've ever seen.
Every time.
It's like he'll be like, sorry, kid. And you're like, why do you need to be wearing the sunglasses inside to say sorry to me about...
Why are you wearing Elton John's blue blockers?
What's happening with you right now?
And a leather sport coat. It's a very interesting outfit there, James Caan.
It was bizarre because I'm like, wait, why does he have sunglasses? He's like, sorry, kid. Like, that's the life. And
hey,
like, okay, like...
Them's the breaks.
Yeah. So, anyway, we have... So he says, James Caan's like, listen, we have one more thing that we need you to do. And Hugh Grant's like, no, I'm sorry. I won't do it. And I'll have to tell Gina about it, who's Triple Horn. And James Caan says, well, no, because, you know, if you tell Triple Horn about it, like, she's going to be mad at you for getting wrapped up and stuff with me.
Of course.
Of course.
Who's not
so
going to be mad
he's
at the
like,
trips?
She's going to be super mad at you, so you can't do that either. So it looks like you just have to do this favor for me. Some manipulation. It's big auction time. I think he wants... Oh, he tells Triple Horn to not come to the auction because he's going to be distracted. Because they're selling another Graziosi painting.
Artie Bucco's got painting number two.
There's a comical bidding war between the old woman because her hearing aid went out of her ear.
Oh,
and the person who's supposed to buy the painting. So they had this, they have Vinny squeezing the guy's hand to have him
keep bidding,
which you'd think that they would be like so not like drawing attention to themselves, like making bones crack in people's
hands.
That's
what I mean. Plus, as a mob scheme, it makes no sense. If someone else wants to buy the painting, let them buy the painting, and then this guy still owes you money.
Yeah.
So then you get it, you get double the fucking money.
Yeah.
That's kind of what, you know, people, criminals are looking to do. So they wouldn't, why would you do that? It just doesn't make any business sense.
Yeah. So they do this comical bidding war, and then Artie Bucco is mad about the painting selling. And so he's like, okay, Hugh Grant, you have to give me
the difference,
the money for that.
Because Hugh Grant basically ignores the old, at the end, ignores the old lady's bids to protect her.
Yeah.
And sells the painting to the guy who's being forced to paint it. So Artie Bucco sees this and is pissed off, saying that he could have got more money out of the old lady, and now Hugh Grant owes it out of his pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the whole plot.
So Artie Bucco comes to the apartment and he's mad and he pulls a gun on Triple Horn and Hugh Grant, who are celebrating their anniversary of their first date. So he just like pulls a gun on them and he's, you know, whatever. And she tells, Triple Horn tells him to put the gun down. They're arguing and Artie Bucco starts to hit Hugh Grant with a lamp.
Yeah. He like beats him up a little and then starts beating him with a lamp.
Yeah. And then, and he's like, I don't mean to rough up a really nice place or nothing. And he's just like, bam, bam. Yeah, like, you know,
beating him with a lamp. You gotta learn how to pay up.
Yeah. And, then Triple Horn takes the gun, shoots a warning shot into a light.
Into the track lighting.
Into the track lighting, and then it ricochets and goes into Artie Bucco.
Somewhere.
And then a bunch of red syrup pours out of Artie Bucco's
The worst
body.
Stage blood I've ever seen. It looked
it was
like
bright red.
It was like orange. Cool. You could see the grains in the wood floor clear through it. Like it was
like they just
had
made
no
strawberry jello.
Yeah.
And then they
thin,
poured it out.
Had no viscosity to it whatsoever. It's bad stage blood. Nice job, assholes.
Yeah. So she's all upset because she killed Johnny Graziosi,
who's the boss's son.
Hugh Grant says, it's cool. We'll get your dad to come and help us. And then she's mad at him for thinking of that.
Yeah.
But then runs away.
His first thing is, we need to call the police.
Yeah,
and she says,
like,
no,
no, no, we can't. And then she runs away.
And leaves him. Then she's mad at
and
him for
her
saying,
apartment.
Yeah. Well, he's like, I guess I'll take care. No, it's his apartment. She goes, because they have to have to carry her past the old lady. So it's his apartment. He lives there.
I thought she did.
No.
Because it's the same one with that door guy.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I thought he lived there.
Mm-mm.
Oh, God damn this
I'm
movie.
Pretty sure it's her.
Okay.
I don't know.
No, you're right. You're right. This sucks.
Okay,
you're right.
So
you're
she
right.
runs away and she's like, oh, no, I killed somebody. We can't have the police involved. Like, she's not like, okay, let's figure out how to do this.
And she doesn't
like
want to call the police and she doesn't want to call her dad. So it's like, okay, well, what do you have to offer then?
Yeah.
I've offered two ideas. You've offered nothing and you're the one who shot the guy. So
Hugh Grant gets James Caan to come in and help dispose of the body. He's like, let me ask you a question. Do you have any plastic bags? And I'm like, you know, like if you called Tony Soprano, he'd come prepared with a whole kit.
He's coming with everything.
He'd have
like
a duffel bag.
Yeah.
He'd have a duffel bag and he'd have everything on what they need.
Like when Janice killed Richie.
Yeah.
She came, he came with the whole, all right, let's do this. He had a whole cleaning supply
Here,
kit.
Here's a change
let's
of clothes.
Go. Hey, rubber
know.
Gloves and shit to put on. He's ready to roll.
Yeah. So he has James Caan come help. They see one of the neighbors. They drive to go bury the body and they hear other people like digging and shoveling on the other side of the hill,
of
the dirt
hill
that they are whatever.
They're like right on the banks of the river in Jersey, it looks like.
And they're fucking shooting at each other now. Like people wouldn't call and be like, I hear a lot of gunshots.
I mean, they're just, they're
fired. It was a lot of gunshots.
It wasn't a lot,
one or two. It was like a fucking gunfight.
It was a hail of gunfire.
And then they're like, oh, wait, is that Frankie? And they're like, oh, yeah, Frankie. It's,
who's that owl over there?
It's Big Pussy and somebody else. I don't remember that guy's name. They're shooting at each other and they're like talking about each person's kill. And they're like, who's this guy? Oh, you know, this guy is in the witness protection program. And we tracked him and whacked him. And
ugh,
James Caan is laughing at that, which and then they're comparing bodies that they have to, you know, I guess we got to get these guys in the ground. See ya. Like, no, nobody does that.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what I mean. It's
say
like
hi to the family. Yeah.
It's
nobody
part
does that.
Spoof and part just horseshit movie.
Hugh Grant goes to the school to see how Triple Horn is feeling after murdering Johnny Graziosi. And I don't get why she's being so rude to him. Being so weird. Like, she, like, they're in it together for that. Like, he was there
it's
with her.
It's her fucking family.
Yeah, and it's, yeah.
That's what I don't get. The whole premise of the movie, she needs to be mad at him for something. They should have found something to be legitimately mad at him for, other than her family, like, pushing him around and then her shooting someone. He just wanted to sell fucking art. He's Hugh Grant, for Christ's sake. The guy's obviously not longing to be a gangster. So.
And if you don't want your men of interest to be involved with your dad, move out of New York City.
Yeah.
Go move to Minneapolis or Milwaukee or something like that.
That's just piss poor writing.
Like, if you ever meet my dad, like, please don't get involved with him.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you guys... He knows where you work. He's going to find you.
It
sounds like he can't help it.
Well, think about the Tripp's character, okay? Uh-huh. Think about her character over the whole thing. None of it makes sense.
No.
They just have her do not even whatever is, like, reactionary to other characters, just whatever is convenient to a plot pushing. They just have her do it now, even if it doesn't make sense. So what a weird... It's a stupid, very poorly written character.
Poorly written.
They wrote her as a vessel to be able to bounce stuff off of. That's it.
James Caan asked Hugh Grant. That's literally what I was going to say. James Caan asked Hugh Grant.
Asked him.
He asked Hugh Grant, do you have a $100 bill on you? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, you know, can I have it? And he's like, yeah, why? What's up? And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. Like, you know, whatever. So then the news reports that Johnny Graziosi was found dead with a $100 bill rolled up and put in his nose, which is the calling card of another crime family. The two crime families meet right away. That's amazing, because usually they would be doing so much passive-aggressive back and forth. Like,
the
you know.
Bosses meet right away to clear the air. We had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, so they're like, we had nothing to do with it, except for it's that really comically, like, wheezy guy, but it's a really high-pitched, and you can't understand what he's saying. And then Polly Walnuts is like, he says he's very sorry about the loss of your son.
It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. So they are like, listen, let's... I had a person that saw where his car was last, so whoever was there did it. James Caan is like, well, why don't I go kind of canvass the area? Go over there and check it out.
I'll put a detective badge on. I'll ask some questions. Yeah. I'll poke around.
And it just seemed very unnatural for him to say that.
Obviously, just to interject himself in something. Yeah.
So anyway, they go to do that.
Everybody's
and then
suspicious.
They're going to go see the neighbor that saw them. So he's going to tie her up and he's going to ask her questions or, you know, get her to, you know, not say anything or whatever.
Yeah.
And they run into Big Pussy and the other guy. So he's like, listen, we already talked to everybody. Not a lot of people are home. Let's go get lunch. Let's go get steak for lunch.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, yeah, you know, I can never turn down steak.
Hey, look at me. I'm a fat guinea. You know, I'm going to eat steak. Come on, everybody.
And so they go to this restaurant for lunch. Hugh Grant has to try to do a New York Italian accent and, like, carry a gun. And it was wild. He sounds like he's doing an Australian accent.
In the car ride over, James Caan's trying to train him to say, like, 2-3 phrases, but nothing else. Just forget about it. That's the of course, that's the first thing you were going to need to know.
Drop all the R's, make all the T's, D's, and then you do the D, and then not the last one, so you make all the other T's, D's, but
it's
the last one's still a T.
And he's like, what
really
about, get the hell out of here, say that, and he's like,
you need a he. You need a he.
That's what he says. He's like, what is
and
that?
And when he's doing that, he's also pooping his pants.
Yeah. I don't do a good British accent. Mine's piss poor as well, but it's not as bad as his fucking New York accent. It's bad.
That is one that's really hard for a lot of people to do. People cannot do a good New York accent.
It's the easiest one in the world.
I know. That's what's funny.
Flatten your tongue out. Make it a little bit loose. And whatever you're saying, I think, press it to the roof of your mouth.
You know who does it really good?
Guess what? You got a New York accent.
Do you know who does it really good?
What? How?
Andy McDowell. She does it great.
Yeah, her. Yeah. Hi.
I'm
born
from
and raised,
North Carolina.
I was born and raised in New York City.
So he is bumbling through that whole encounter. Big Pussy asks him if he hasn't, because they're saying that he's Little Big Mickey Blue. Mickey Blue Eyes from Kansas City.
Yeah, because
and then
like,
he'd be from Kansas City talking like, "Hey, oh, forget about it. Like, give me a break."
Yeah,
he wouldn't be from Kansas City talking like that.
No, well, maybe I don't know. Those guineas kind of have a similar type of accent. You ever seen Casino? Those guys are supposed to be from Kansas City, kind of have that sort of thing. And
anyway,
it's a cultural accent. It's like a redneck accent. There's people in, you know, places that are not in the South at all that talk like this. Why? I don't know. It's just your redneck accent. It's one of those things.
Anyway, so they're asking him if he has any company while he's in town, because that's what you ask. Hey, need a girl while you're here?
Company. Yeah.
So he's like, no, I don't have it. He's like shaking his head. I don't know why he didn't just sit there and just not say anything and act like he doesn't say anything.
He could have just acted like some kind of psychopath. Yeah. He could have just looked at him. And
then James Caan could have been like, he doesn't talk to anybody.
He don't say very much, this guy. I don't know. He's all business.
Yeah.
That would have been the joke and they could have fucking moved on, but they couldn't because they had to make it excruciating.
Yeah. And Janice is the.
Janice Soprano is the waitress.
How do you want your steak cooked? And he's like, raw.
Yeah.
And then raw? What do you want to drink? Beer.
Beh.
He wants a Foster's.
Yeah.
It's like, he sounds like he's speaking Australian.
Sounds like Paul Hogan after the movie.
Give me a beer.
Oh, is that Paul Hogan? Oh, thanks, Paul Hogan, for coming in and doing that for us. We really appreciate it. Everybody here tonight. Wow.
Wait, can
Make
he
sure
stay?
To say hi to Cher in the green room.
Yeah. Can he stay there and hang out?
No, he can't. He has to get right back. He's got a koala waiting for him.
We're getting a lot of really A-list guests.
It's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. I will say that.
I really enjoy when we do bad impressions and then we act like they're making a cameo on our show.
Hey, what are you going to do?
All right, fine. So he's kissing some broad because he sees his boss there. Everybody that he knows, the guy that bought the painting is there,
knows him. It's his restaurant, yeah.
It's his restaurant. His boss is there. Oh, hello. Are you here for the steak?
What a coincidence.
Yeah, and then it's like, ugh. And so he's like kissing this girl, and then one of her cousins is there, and she takes a picture. Triple Horn's cousin is there, and she takes a picture of him kissing this broad.
They don't explain her character, but she has had some sort of trauma. Apparently a guy broke up with her.
Oh, my God.
She cries a lot and said her therapist told her to take pictures. So that's all we're getting out of that character.
James Caan goes over to the neighbor's house. He goes to break into there. The lady that saw them carrying the body. And it's actually Uncle Vito in the rocking chair.
Oh.
And James Caan spills the beans. He says, listen, it was Mickey Blue. It was Michael. He was shooting a warning shot, and it accidentally ricocheted, and it hit him in the back.
You know,
so
things happen.
Then Vinny goes over to Triple Horn's house to hang out, and James Caan is very worried about this. He calls her, and he's like, you got to get out of your house right now.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, she's like, don't worry about it. Uncle Vito already sent over Vinny.
They're essentially holding her hostage.
Yeah. So he gets mad, and he's like, if you touch my daughter, like... And then also, he doesn't realize that he's been a bad dad to his daughter. And then Hugh Grant brings it up with him. Like,
yeah,
he's like,
oh, you're
making her feel like you were never really there for her. And it just really, that really hurts. And he's like, well, she say that.
I know. I'm like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
There are corpses.
Well, that was like a good... like a good like nod to the analyze this and all that stuff. Like, well, what would she say something?
Oh my God.
All right,
no,
I better do something for my daughter.
It was just out of place right then. It was like, no, they're in the middle of setting up other mob families and shit. This is a different thing.
Turns out Vito has ordered James Caan to kill Hugh Grant at their wedding during the speeches. So it has to be during Hugh Grant's speech. So then that way his daughter is devastated because her husband is dead. And then James Caan is devastated because he loses his daughter because she's going to be that upset with him that he had
for publicly executing her husband.
And then they're like, well, there is no wedding. So like, what are we going to do about that? And they're just like, I don't know. We got to figure it out. They go and they test out these squibs.
Yeah,
and
we cut to, it looks like. They're trying to make it look like, okay, James Caan is going to kill Mickey
and he's
Blue
like,
Eyes here.
Oh, does this hurt?
And he's like, is it going to hurt? And he's like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. So then he fires two shots and these squibs pop out. And then he's like, oh, that did hurt. It was surprisingly painful. And he walks over and it's like,
yeah, so they're with the FBI and they're testing out all of these squibs with, everything. And the plan is that they have to act like they're in love and go through with the wedding. So James Caan says you need to, you know, like you need to act like there's no problems between you two.
Yeah,
like
everything's great.
Everything is great. So Triplehorn meets at the flower shop to go over the plan. She thinks she's just going there for flowers, but really she's going over there to go over a plan. Vinny yeah. has to watch her from outside. The FBI agents, they're the ones that are at the shop, and they're going over the plan with them too. And the thing that was kind of annoying to me is that so Hugh Grant starts telling her the plan, yeah. and then he's like, "Yeah, so we're going to be doing this," and da da da, and she's just like, "What? Like, what yeah. the fuck?" And then the florists are just like, "Yeah, cool. We're the FBI. Like, we're here. We're totally in on it." And she's not like, "What the fuck is happening?"
Yeah, this is a big shock.
This is a big shock. Like,
she's taking it pretty lightly.
Because she's just like, "Oh, okay, obviously." And then, so at first she says, like, "I'm definitely not going to do that because of my dad. Like, I'm not going to talk to the FBI."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Don't worry, he's in on it too." And she goes, "Oh, okay." He just believes it immediately.
Boom.
I'd be like, "You're going to need to produce my father right now."
Yeah.
Like,
nah,
either call him or have him peek his head around the corner and give me a thumbs up.
With big giant sunglasses
yeah.
on.
So, yeah, tell him to put on his Elton Johns.
Let's go.
So they're at the wedding. They're planning, like, they're putting all of their stuff into motion. They've got a bunch of people dressed up as chefs, and they're carrying these giant saucepans and stock pots and all that stuff, and they're just full of guns. The plan is that they are going to have James Caan shoot Hugh Grant with these squibs, but Hugh Grant, before he dies, is going to get Vito on tape saying something so they can have the...
Yes, they can have the case against Vito. He's going to set up some kind of art scam.
The goal is that they do not want to shoot him, so they're hoping that they can have the kitchen team go get Vito before shooting has to happen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But they're if they've got squibs. So if it has to go to shooting, then they've got squibs.
Very complicated.
Yeah, it's very complicated.
Very overly complicated for the end of a fucking rom-com.
Yeah. So they are going over everything before they're doing it, and they're like, "Yeah, so we'll do dinner, we'll do dancing, and da da da," and then they'll have speeches. And James Caan is like, no, this is an Italian wedding. The speeches come first."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure you've got time." And they're like, no, those will be quick. And I'm like, will the speeches? I've never heard either way.
Well, no, the speeches, it's during the speeches. So it's before that's going to be quick is what they were saying.
Oh, okay.
The time leading up to the speeches are going to be quick.
Yeah, okay.
Have a lot of time. Yeah, before that, they thought they had like an hour before the speeches, but now they only have like 10 minutes.
Okay, that's what I was confused. I'm like, wait, what? So anyway, now we're at the wedding. They did the... the lady from the art gallery is at the wedding. Hugh Grant is all mic'd up, and he's
he can't quite get Vito to agree to anything.
He's trying to go and
his boss
talk
comes
to,
over.
He's trying to go and talk to Vito about a business operation to be like, he wants to be like, "Hey, I think I have an idea of how we can help each other," type of thing.
Yeah.
So he comes up with an idea, and he wants to say, like, "Okay, so do we have a deal?" And then that way he says yes, and then the FBI can go kitchen team.
Yeah, they can go bust him now.
So so he's having trouble doing that. The boss interrupts him.
The art gallery boss.
Yeah, the guy that's going to put his father's paintings.
Yeah, the guy's been showing up.
He's at this wedding.
He's even there.
Why
That's what
is
I mean.
He at Hugh Grant's wedding?
Yeah, he decided to come with us. Okay, great. Why is he here?
Yeah, $75 a plate.
I didn't fucking invite this guy.
What the fuck?
My wedding.
Yeah. So anyway, he's gonna go give him a pen because apparently that guy's gonna sign with them, and then Hugh Grant bumps off one of the squibs, so he has to go and change shirts with his boss in the bathroom so that the Italians can think that they're gay. Because he's like, British figures. Like,
yeah, they're in a stall together, and he's like, no, turn around. You got to tuck it in this way. No, come on, squeeze it in there.
Yeah.
And he opens the door and he goes, English figures. And
yeah, I was like, ugh, like, gross.
Okay.
You guys are fucking, that's a dumb joke.
It's every joke in this movie. Yeah. It's just offensive.
It's just bad. It's just offensive on all
it's
levels.
A comedy.
Yeah.
Never mind to anybody in particular.
So he gets, Hugh Grant gets halfway through his pitch and then he's like, you know what? That's fine. Like, we don't have to talk about it. Everybody's like, you fucking idiot. And he's like, no, you can never chase a bid. Now Uncle Vito wants to talk. So everybody's like, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. He's back in business. And Vito gives James Caan a live gun. The FBI is making a whole plan for how to do this because the speeches are early now. I did love, so they're trying to, they're like in emergency because, you know, they're like, oh shit, Vito gave him a live gun. So now we have to figure this out. Like, Hugh Grant's dead. And the FBI guy is like barking orders at everyone. And then all of a sudden this guy tilts and he's into frame and he goes, sir. And he has his headset on, but he still has his fucking chef hat on.
So ridiculous.
Why does he have his chef hat on?
You're in a van with the FBI agents.
You're on surveillance.
You're out. You're off stage now.
Take the fucking chef hat off.
If you have a ridiculous costume hat and then you leave the stage, you pull it off if you're on a flight.
Take the chef half off. Take the chef hat off.
It was so stupid, the chef hat.
I was like, wait, why are we still wearing our chef hat, sir? But yeah, it was just so funny. A guy talking about very, like, you know, life or death situations and going, sir, with a chef hat. Oh, my God.
The big, not a floppy one either. The big straight one.
No, it's a big straight one. Okay, so speech time. Hugh Grant is being super weird, talking a lot about death at his wedding speech. I would be like, geez, like, what the fuck? I'd be trying to get him. I know, he's just trying to
give. He's doing it to give James Caan to shoot me. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, because they told him, they're like, by the way, it's a live round. Like,
yeah,
so be careful. Sorry about that. And so he's saying, like, it's cool. I'm ready to die. And James Caan is introduced. He stands up, pulls the gun, and then shoots him, but it doesn't do anything. So then he, like, hits himself. Yeah.
James Caan, like, shoots, like, 6 feet next to him.
And
by
he misses.
Like, flowers explode. And then 8 seconds goes by and then Hugh Grant hits the squib and falls down.
And then the kitchen team has been engaged, so they're all running out with their chef jackets and their fucking machine guns. And
stupid.
Triplehorn gets shot. So Vinny gets up and he's shot, and then the FBI people go and shoot Vinny.
Then he shoots the trips.
Yeah, Triplehorn is down. She's been shot. The FBI agent is looking so introspectively.
Well, you know it, too, because you're like, okay, they put the bullet, like, right in the middle of her chest, like, right in the old wedding dress, making sure that the squib really pops on the blood really pops out of the white.
Yeah, the bodice.
It's and you're like, okay, no romantic comedy is ending with the bride being shot in the chest and murdered at her own wedding. So what? There has to be a happy ending here somewhere.
But it's so funny. So the people that come up, and then that one FBI agent, he puts his fingers on her wrist and he goes, she's gone.
She's gone.
It's no, he goes, no need for an ambulance.
Because the guy goes, I'll call an ambulance. He goes, it's too late.
Yeah.
Just forget
it. And
then
he's just
throw her out in the alley.
He's sitting there and he's holding her hand,
Yeah.
He's holding her limp, like, wrist, and he's, like, looking off into the distance and, like...
Yeah, it's very...
Like, longingly, like, these are the parts of... these are the days of the job that are hard.
I knew this would happen someday.
Yeah.
I knew I'd have a limp bride wrist in my hand someday.
At what cost?
At what cost?
Organized crime. Killed another innocent woman.
We made the arrest, sure, but at what cost?
Yeah, so, Hugh Grant is super upset. Everybody's super upset. We put the body in an ambulance. We're all in the ambulance. James Caan and Hugh Grant are now sobbing. And then they're like, they're both hugging each other. And they're like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she pops up and she's like, yeah, you guys both better be sorry because you guys kept a secret from me.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what happened? And we reveal this whole plan of that Vinny was in on it too. And
Vinny's
like,
in the front seat.
Vinny's in the front seat. And he goes, so I retired. And I'm like, I love that.
Oh, Christ.
They took Vito away. And so he's like, well, you guys got Vito, whatever. And then he thinks that his score was settled, so he's not going to come. Like, you know, and he goes, bada bing. Like, he just, like, summed it all up, and then he goes, bada bing. And I'm like, alrighty.
This is the second out of the last three movies that we've watched that have ended with an ambulance ride and a phony death and somebody being
Dave
in the front seat that wasn't really dead. And it's the fucking same exact ending of Dave.
So then he's like, she goes, I love you. And then Hugh Grant says, do you love me too? Because they've been having trouble because she has been lied to, she feels like.
Yeah.
And then so she's like, no. And she shows him the picture of him kissing that lady at the restaurant. She goes running out of the ambulance. And there's a marathon obviously happening because it's New York. So there's always a marathon.
Some kind.
And then or at least those are the only times that you can fucking film is when there's a marathon.
Yeah.
And then so he just goes and he's like, no, that was Mickey Blue Eyes. That wasn't me.
Yeah, I was pretending to be this guy.
And
my
boss
was there.
Do you recognize that arm right there? She goes, oh my God, it's Daddy.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah. And then she goes, so wait, you're Mickey Blue Eyes? And he's like, and she goes, who's Mickey Blue Eyes? It's me. Or I was. And it was like, what are you talking about? So they're in love now. And they're kissing. And everybody's
for real.
Everybody's running in the New York Marathon. Mm. And I was running for the hills. That's it. It's over. I'm running. Jesus. I'm running, James. I'm running to the Heigl-meter.
Oh, God. To the Heigl-meter?
The Heigl-meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls. 5 Heigls being the most painful movie. Awful, whatever, terrible movie experience that you've ever dealt with. 1 Heigl, not bad.
Not that bad.
I think, did you go first last week?
I think so.
Okay. I'm going to go first because I feel like
Please.
You have a lot to say.
I think I do.
Forget about it. It's 5 boxes of Heigls.
5 boxes of Heigls.
It's 5 boxes of Heigls.
There's a Sopranos reference for you.
If it's 1 box of Heigls, it's 5. You know what I mean?
So
it's 5.
It's 5.
A bad
movie. You're going
movie.
A hard 5?
Yeah. A box of Ziti is like $1,000 in the Sopranos. And so, yeah, I'm going to go a box of Heigls is 1,000. So it's 5. 5,000.
5,000 Heigls. I'm going to go with a specific number of Heigls. I'm going to go with 1,947 Heigls.
Okay.
1947 is the year my grandmother came here to have us be embarrassed by this shit. This is a fucking embarrassment. And I thought about it for a while. And yes, I'm offended at the just obvious fucking offensiveness of it. But I'm not offended half as much if it was fucking funny. I wouldn't be offended at all.
No.
That's the thing. If it's funny, it's okay. If, like, the stupid mafia movie has Jay Moore playing the mob guy and Christina Applegate, you know that stupid fucking movie. It's a Zucker Brothers movie, I believe. It's a spoof. Great. Funny as shit. This, embarrassingly fucking offensive. How dare you? Eat dicks, all of you. Fuck off. I want you, Grant, deported at once, post-haste, back to fucking England. I want them all gone, everybody. And James Caan, stop playing Italian people just for a minute. I'm sorry, just give me one fucking movie where you're not an old Italian man.
I don't think that he's been an old Italian man in a while. He's usually like an old businessman now.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, take that then. 1947. Enjoy.
Okay, great.
Fuck.
I knew James would have a lot to say about it. He was very upset this whole movie.
I tried to make it concise.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for being here and for listening to us.
Yes. We hope you didn't watch it.
Follow us on social media. If you do watch it, just really prepare yourself for the Chef Hat FBI surveillance.
That's a good one. It's a great moment.
I screamed. I was like, why does he still have his Chef Hat on? Sir.
Chef Hat wobbling.
Are you sure you want to display the nuclear codes? Sir.
Sir.
Take your Chef Hat off.
Come on.
Follow us on social media. We're Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigled. We do bonus episodes every other week on Patreon. That's Patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigled. Bonus content. We talk a lot of 90 Day Fiancé. We talk other reality shows
play
that we watch. We play games. We play Plotsy. We play Make Your Own Rom-Com. Last time that we did a bonus, we did a Make Your Own Rom-Com.
Oh, yeah.
And this week, we're going to be talking about the TLC show, I Love a Mama's Boy. After that, we will do Make Your Own Rom-Com Holiday. No.
Plotsy Holiday.
No, Plotsy Holiday Movie Edition.
Holiday Edition of Plotsy. Definitely.
You can email the show, yougothighgold@gmail.com. You can also, if you want to make a donation, PayPal there. Patreon.com/yougothighgold. Highgoldyourself.threadless.com for shirts. Oh, yeah. I know I have to make new shirts. It's been a busy one. So I'm making more shirts there, but we do have that stuff. If you want to follow me and talk to me on Twitter or Instagram, at Sarah H is funny, S-A-R-A-H-H is funny. I also wrote 2 books on Amazon.
They're funny. Buy them. She just breezes through, but they're really funny. They're actually funny. She's not going to like toot her own horn here, so I will. Okay. Very funny. Buy these goddamn books. They're hilarious.
They're on the links in my bios on my social media, or it's on barnesandnoble.com.
Small potatoes.
Small potatoes. Ugh, I hate talking about myself.
See, that's why I have to do it for you.
Talk about you, dear.
They're hilarious, and you should read the books. Small Town Murder, Crime and Sports. You will find me if you want to.
I thought you were just making fun of me for doing that, and then you're doing that.
It's fine, because I'm propping. I want your books, because they're funny, goddammit, and I don't think you're giving them enough play.
I don't know why you're yelling at me.
I want you to have more confidence.
Well, anyway, here, I have confidence in these people.
Oh,
they donated money to us. They joined us on Patreon.
Please, who are they?
Alexa Speed, Victoria Iluka, Rob Sukach. Liz Smith, Laura Pearl, Jason Fuller, Joey Leshnack. Yeah, hi.
Hey.
Candace Coddins, Casey Melhus, Catherine Lunsford, Sue Tufts, Jess Evans, Emily Marie, Morgane Halloway, Rebecca Hazlett, Ashley Viaduti as well.
She's awesome too.
You guys are all so very wonderful. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much.
I do have to tell you a funny one, James, that I heard from Twilight.
What's that?
Somebody messaged me and they said that they used to be team, they're like, when I watched this movie a bunch, I was team Edward, team Jacob. And she goes, and now that like I'm older, I'm definitely team Carlisle or team Charlie. And I was like, good for you. Go with the doctor.
She's like, look,
stable job.
These teens have a lot of just drama. He's a doctor. He seems to be doing well for himself.
Yeah. Ugh, I don't want to date an 18-year-old right now.
He's empathetic.
Yeah.
He can stop from sucking a blood to death out
also,
of a person.
Also, if something happens to me and I'm a hypochondriac, so.
Well, you put it this way. He's either going to fix you up, or if he can't save you, he's a fucking vampire. He can turn you into a vampire.
Handsome.
So either way, you are not going to die under his care.
Yeah, you're going to be great.
You're going to live forever.
You're going to
be great. At least for a little while longer.
Yeah. And if you do live forever with him, make sure you're like 22.
Yeah. And still
maybe
going
we'll
to
do,
high school.
Maybe we'll do like Saved by the Bell, the college years.
Oh, Jesus.
Like Twilight.
Twilight, the college years. I like that.
Yeah, we will watch all the Twilights. James understands that he must watch them. So we have made a schedule for us.
Fine.
Once a month, we're going to be hanging out and watching Twilight movies.
What are you going to do?
But anyway, thank you guys so much for hanging out with
us.
Thank you. You guys are so wonderful. We appreciate each and every one of you.
We do.
And just, go heigle yourselves
or
whatever.
Go heigle yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.